Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Bird, and thanks so much for tuning in to our Every Nation channel. And I got news for you. God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you. And so like looking back over this past week, we actually celebrated, it was the 23rd anniversary of 9/11. And I just can't believe it's been 23 years. And I know for some of you that I'm speaking to, when I talk about 9/11, like you have no kind of memory of that because you were too young, or maybe some of you not even born yet. And then there's others of us. We remember exactly where we were and what we were doing. It was a horrific event that just time-stamped our life. And so if you recall, a group of Al-Qaeda terrorists, they hijacked a few planes, and they actually flew them in to what was known as the Twin Towers in Manhattan, New York. And get this, the towers came crashing down. There was chaos in all of Manhattan, and roughly 3,000 people died that day. And yet with that, we lost more than just lives. We also lost a sense of peace and a sense of security. And so what we were stepped into after that event was a war on terror. And get this, so the American people and our government, we were on a mission to go and hunt down the mastermind behind this attack, the terrorist, the Al-Qaeda terrorist, Osama bin Laden. It would take us 10 years to find him and locate him. But then on May 2nd, 2011, they found him. He was hiding in a compound in Pakistan. And so the Joint Chiefs of Staff, in conjunction with the other military offices, they got together and they put together what's just known as Operation Neptune's Spear. And it was underway. The secrecy was of the utmost importance during this time. They couldn't even trust the Pakistani government, so they didn't inform them about Operation Neptune's Spear. And so SEAL Team 6 was called in. This was this covert group of warriors, and the plan was to go under the cover of night. And so they had two Black Hawk Apache helicopters with stealth mode capability, and they were flown by special ops pilots just known as the Night Stalkers. And so the entire mission was supposed to last 40 minutes. They accomplished it in 38, and they took out Osama bin Laden. They radioed back to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff went back to D.C., and they let them know, Geronimo Ekia. Geronimo was what they called bin Laden, and Ekia means enemy killed in action. President Obama at that time, he just simply said, we got him. We got him. And so there was this strange thing that took place when we hear those words, we got him. That there was this peace and calm was restored back to the American people. There was this sense of closure. And I want to just tie that back into where we stand. Like ultimate reality is this. At the beginning of time, there was one act of terror that took place, and we feel its effects to this very day. If you remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything there is. And time again, he says, oh, it's good. It's good. It's good. He creates humanity. And he says, this is very good. But then something is going to happen. You know, the biblical word for peace, the Hebrew word is shalom. It means nothing broken and nothing lacking. And that's what we knew through the first two books of Genesis. And then in Genesis chapter 3, we're introduced to the serpent, a terrorist. Jesus said he's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? And so the serpent lies to Adam and Eve. He's the father of lies, and he lies. And so Adam and Eve rebel against God's good word, and they eat of the forbidden fruit. And in doing so, shalom is shattered, and peace comes crumbling down. And we feel its effects to this day, right? But at that moment, God Almighty declared a war on terror. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that God tells the serpent, he says, the seed of this woman, Eve, is going to come and crush your head. like there was a manhunt out on the very devil himself. In fact, in Revelation 12:12, it says this: the devil knows that his time is short. This manhunt would take several millennia until some 2,000 years ago, the Son of God appeared on earth. And it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And now with the appearance of Jesus, God become a man, now Operation Calvary's Cross was introduced and it was in play. And Jesus, he lived the perfect life that you and I were supposed to live. And then he goes to the cross and he dies on our behalf, in our place. And get this, he raises up on the third day. And with that, he says these words from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. He says, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Can I translate that for you? He says, we got him. We got him, right? And so, here's what's interesting. After the attacks of 9/11, and there's just a ground zero, and there's just devastation and shrapnel everywhere, the remains of the Twin Towers. Did you know that they took some 24 tons of that scrap metal? They took it back to a base where they melted down these metals. They reshaped it and rebuilt it, and they constructed the USS New York, a battleship. And you know, that's in a very real way, that's our story. That though Adam and Eve sinned against God, and through the ashes of sin, God was going to raise up something great, something mighty. He was going to rebuild a people in his image and in his likeness. And it's called the church. It's called the church. And it's funny, even our story here at Every Nation New Jersey, our church was actually birthed out of the attacks of 9/11. We initially planted our church in Manhattan after 9/11. And I recall my pastor, Pastor Ron Lewis, as he was flying out of LaGuardia Airport, and you could still see the ash and the smoldering smoke coming out of Ground Zero, he received these words from the Lord. The Lord just spoke to him in his heart and said this: out of these ashes, I'm going to build a great church. And that's how our church was birthed. And listen, God has saved us. He's given us his Spirit, sealed us, and now he sent us on a mission. A mission by Almighty God to reconcile the world back to himself. And we're going to be talking about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll be in verses 14 to 21. It'll take me a little bit to get there, but here's point number one, if you're a point taker or whatever, is that you've been saved and you've been given a new heart and a new helmet. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. Paul says this: for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and was raised. And so we see this, it's the love of God that controls us. There's a love on the inside of us because of Christ. And so you get a new heart. Let me tell you the story of Conrad Ruland. So this is several years ago. I just finished doing the chapel for the New York Jets. That's Jesus's team, by the way. And as I finished this chapel, one young man, a tight end by the name of Conrad Ruland, I think we have an image of him going up. And in Conrad, I remember he stayed after this chapel for prayer. So I just remember talking with him and getting to know him and thinking, man, what a good looking, like strong young man who loves the Lord. And so we prayed, and that would be the last time I'd ever see Conrad Ruland. Fast forward several years later, he got a brain aneurysm, and he suddenly died at the age of 29 years old. Can I just tell you, like, and then simultaneously, there's a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer by the name of Rod Carew. And Rod Carew, his health was failing in his old age, and he needed a new heart. And so Conrad Ruland's heart was made available to Rod Carew. And so he received Conrad's heart. And then there's this fascinating video of Conrad Ruland's mom listening to the heartbeat of her son in the chest of Rod Carew. I don't know if you know this, that every heartbeat has its own unique beat. No two hearts beat the same. And as she took the stethoscope and she listened in to Rod Carew's chest, and she says, there it is. It's him. It's him. It's his heartbeat. And I want to tell you this, like if you know Jesus today, that God's given you his heart, right? It beats on the inside of our chest. Now, we love what Jesus loved, and we hate what he hates. It says that the love of Christ, it controls us or compels us, right? And so God's given you a new heart. He's also given you a new helmet, all right? And so I need to show you this image. So many of you know my secret passion for years has been bike helmet safety. I think we have an image of the my poster that I did way back in the day. I hope you appreciate it. I was rocking the mullet, you know, business in the front, party in the back. Right, and then I'm with these adorable kids who I have no idea who they are. Okay, and I really lied. I don't care about bike helmet safety, but there is one helmet I do want to make sure you have on, and that is what the Bible calls the helmet of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so isn't that fascinating? Upon salvation, God says, I'm giving you a helmet. You're going to need a helmet. And here's the reason why. Man, at salvation, the good news is you get peace with God. The bad news is you get war with the devil. And please, never believe the lie that you can be Switzerland, right? Just neutral in the whole thing. I won't bother you if you won't bother me. That's not an option. And so here's the great news. Man, although when you receive Jesus, you get war with the devil, I got news for you. I've read to the back of the book, and we win. We win, all right? And so in our text, we read that some 2,000 years ago, when Christ died, you died with him, right? You died with him, and now we are raised to new life. Why? Why were you raised to new life? For a mission. And so I guess I'll illustrate this way. I might be the only one who enjoys this illustration, but I'm the pastor, okay? So way back in 2018, man, we all went to the theaters to see the Avengers Infinity War, right? We're all geeked up, and here's the crazy thing about that movie. Man, it was just like 2.5 hours of the good guys just getting worked, man. Like Thanos, he was just working all of our heroes. They seemed powerless. And then catch this, at the end of the film, man, all the good guys, our heroes, many of them die, and then they fade away into nothingness. And then the credits roll. And you're like, no way, it can't end this way. It cannot end this way. And I got good news for you. We'd have to wait a year, but it didn't end that way, because then we got Avengers Endgame. And do you remember what happened in that film? Our heroes were reborn. And when they were reborn, what happened? They were sent off in a mission to absolutely destroy evil. Take a look at the video.
Thank you.
was that incredible? Like you've been reborn for a mission. And I got news for you, just like those fans in the movie theater, that when you, man, are reborn and you engage in God's mission for your life of pushing back all that's wicked and dark, all of heaven is rejoicing and celebrating the fact that you are a man or a woman on a mission of rescue, right? Let's go on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. Paul goes on and he says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Man, God made Jesus, him who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that you and I might become the very righteousness of God. It's this great exchange that takes place at the cross. And if I can illustrate it this way, March 23rd, back in 2018, this is in Trèves, France, and actually there was an ISIS terrorist who entered a supermarket in Trèves, France. He killed three of the people in the supermarket, and then he took the checkout girl as a hostage. And so as the authorities arrived on the scene, one man was going to make a difference. His name is Lieutenant Colonel Arnold Beltram. We have an image of him coming up, and he was the Lieutenant Colonel. He did something that no one thought he would do. He's been trained in terrorism, and he actually walked into the supermarket. He set his weapon down, and then he began to talk to the terrorist. The terrorist had a handgun, a hunting knife, and three homemade bombs. And he told the terrorist this. He says, "Take me instead." He says, "I'm more valuable than she is. I'm a lieutenant colonel." And the ISIS terrorist took him up on his proposal. He released the checkout girl and then took the lieutenant colonel as his hostage. After hours on hours end of a standoff, the terrorist eventually killed the lieutenant colonel. And then upon hearing the gunshots, they raided the supermarket and they took out the ISIS terrorist. But afterwards, you know, there's this profound sense of loss for Lieutenant Colonel's sacrifice. And I want you to hear what the President of France had to say at this time. It says this, it was President Emmanuel Macron. He says, "He laid down his life to stop a deadly peril, and he fell as a hero. His life was not wasted." And then his brother went on and said of him that he knew exactly what he was doing. When people questioned, "How could he have done this? He walked in. Did he know he was going to be killed?" And his brother said, very matter-of-factly, he knew exactly what he was doing. And I want you to know that Jesus, some 2,000 years ago, knew exactly what he was doing as he went to that cross. And on that cross, Jesus became sin on our behalf. In other words, all of your sin and my sin, past, present, and even the sins that are to come, Jesus paid the heavenly price for that. The wrath of God against sin. He died in our place that you and I might be the righteousness of God. And that now everything has changed for us. Let me read to you John chapter 10, verses 28 to 29, that John says, Jesus says this, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And so what Jesus is communicating, that he loves you so much, that God's got you, and even to the other side of death, that Jesus won't let you go. It made me think, back in 1987, Northwest Airlines flight 255, immediately upon takeoff, it crashed into the I-94 overpass. And there was just jet fuel and smoke and everything. Listen, 155 of the 156 passengers died. One person survived. a 4-year-old girl named Cecilia. In fact, at the site of the crash, the rescuers, they were shocked and they couldn't figure out how this 4-year-old girl survived. They thought, oh, surely she was maybe just in a car that was struck on the overpass or something. Until they finally, they realized this. They believed that Cecilia's mother, when she knew the plane was going down, grabbed a hold of her little girl and in love wouldn't let her go. She absorbed the blast. And that's what took place for you and I 2,000 years ago. It is the love of God that will never, ever let you go. Nothing and no one could snatch you out of the Father's hand. And get this, here's what that means. That doesn't mean we're not going to die, but that means in dying, we'll be safe because we'll be in the Father's arms, all right? And then we'll be raised to new life. Here's a next point is this, that you and I, that we've been saved for a mission. We've been saved for a mission. Let me read our text, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So did you see the sequence? That God sent Jesus to reconcile us back to himself. Now Jesus sends us with a message of reconciliation. We have a mission from Jesus. Man, the King needs to get his message of reconciliation out to a dying and hurting world. In fact, I've shared this before, but this is back in 1930. King George V of England had a word that he needed to get out to the world. And so as he was about to give his commencement, CBS was going to carry it throughout the United States over the airwaves. And get this, someone, just before, moments before the king's speech was to take place, someone tripped over an electrical wire, snapped it in two, and now they couldn't let the broadcast take place over the airwaves. But one man, the chief operator at CBS, his name is Harold Vidian. He didn't skip a beat. He grabbed the two pieces of electrical wire in his hands. He completed the circuit, and electricity flowed all through his body. Just so what? So the king's message could get out. He absorbed all of that. And that's what you and I do. Man, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the message flows in us and through us to a hurting world. It's a message of reconciliation. That here's what that means, is that means that man, God has come to save you. Man, that there's still time for those of you that don't know Jesus, there's still time. Be reconciled to God. That's his message to you. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And so he says this, that we are ambassadors for Christ. So we are the hands, the feet, the mouth of Jesus. We're his ambassadors. And so I'm going to share this statistic. I was torn whether or not to do it or not. I think I'm going to upset a few people, but I guess I'm okay with that. Did you know that Manhattanville College, they did an extensive study. It was of 263 people. And here's what the research said. And so I'll just read it to you. A recent study by researchers at Manhattanville College, New York, the following compelling results found in the study, which surveyed 263 people and has come to the following conclusion. And so here it is. Dog owners are happier, more sociable, and earn bigger salaries than cat owners. Now, people who choose a feline friend rather than a canine companion are more likely to enjoy their own company. So for cat people, congratulations, good for you. And so what does the research say? It says this, that cat people enjoy their own company, that dog people, they are friendlier and they earn more money, and guess what? And then there's Jesus people. And here's what Jesus people do. They love God, they love people, and they live their life on a mission. You've been called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, to represent him in the earth. And listen, I know this, that people, there are people that'll never read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they will read you, right? Your life tells a story. And here's what I pray, that you live your life in such a way that you make Jesus attractive, right? And so, we're ambassadors for Christ, and let me show you how not to be an ambassador. And so, do you know, back when I was playing in junior hockey, I had a coach, his name was Bert Templeton, and it was funny, after practice one day, he pulled me aside, and he just said this, he says, Adam, you swear a lot. And I was a Christian at the time, not a very good one. And Bert Templeton was not a Christian at the time. And this man had the foulest mouth I've ever heard in my life. And he's saying that I swear too much. But here's what I didn't know. See, he was actually on a journey wondering if Jesus was the way. And so me swearing, just like the rest of my other teammates, it was disorienting and confusing to him. Now, the good news is God redeems my poor ambassadorship, and Bert Templeton would come to know the Lord later in life. But we're called to be ambassadors. That doesn't mean we're not called to be theologians. We don't have to be theologians. We don't have to be apologists or defense attorneys. We don't have to have all the answers. We just have to be ambassadors. And I want to show you how simple this can be. Do you know Sir Anthony Hopkins, right? He's just an amazing actor. He's Thor's dad. Come on, man. And so Sir Anthony Hopkins, he was two things. He's been an atheist for most of his life and a raging alcoholic for most of his life. And so he battled alcoholism and he's tried AA all the time and just could never stop drinking until this one particular AA meeting, he's in there. And one of the women during the AA meeting looked at this actor, this world-renowned actor, and just challenged him. Why don't you just trust God? And for whatever reason, it just hit him. And it was like the blinders were lifted off. And he says, maybe I'll just try trusting God. I've tried everything else. And so he kind of made a deal with the Lord. And that moment, boom, the desire to drink was taken from him forever. And so he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And what? It was just because one woman had the guts to be an ambassador and say, why don't you just trust God? Right? It's not that difficult. In fact, being an ambassador is so easy a 9-year-old can do it. All right? So a former Baltimore Orioles first baseman, Chris Davis, he was in an historic slump. He was in an 0-for-54 hitting slump, okay? That's not just bad, that's historically bad, okay? And so you can imagine Baltimore was into Fenway Park to play the Red Sox, and Chris Davis is in taking extra batting practice. And as he does, the dugout manager comes with a letter. It was a letter that was given to him by 9-year-old Henry Frasca. And he took the letter, and Chris Davis read the letter, and I want to read it to you. It says this: Dear Mr. Davis, from Henry Frasca, a 9-year-old kid and a diehard Red Sox fan, there are two things I want you to know. First, the way you play baseball has nothing to do with how good a person you are. Also, you are incredible. You've played in the Major League Baseball. You've done it for a long time, and everyone goes through a slump. Don't give up. We're rooting for you. And with that letter, Chris Davis, he folded it up. He put it into his Bible. And that night, he went out and went 3-for-5. He had 2 doubles in an RBI. And so here's a 9-year-old boy had these words, simple words of encouragement. And here's what makes me wonder, like as an ambassador for Christ, who in your world needs encouragement? Like who's that individual today that you go, man, they just need to have a text. Man, I love you. Hey, I'm praying for you, right? Who needs encouragement in your life? You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You've been sent on a mission. I'll show you another one, just how something so simple could be so powerful and impactful. This was back in 1934 in North Carolina. There was actually a tent revival going on, and so there was music and whatnot. And so these two 14-year-old boys were drawn to kind of the commotion, and then when they went, they realized, oh, it's a church thing. And so they were going to leave, these 14-year-old boys, but they were stopped by an usher. And one of the other ushers was like, oh, boys, you are going to love what this man has to say. This is just for you. I have 2 seats set aside for you. And with that, the boys thought, well, what the heck? We'll go. And they sat down. And that day, those 2 boys received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. One of the boys' names was Grady Wilson. And the second one, I think you'll know his name. His name is Billy Graham. Probably one of the greatest preachers ever to walk the earth. He preached the gospel to some 215 million people. What? All because one usher took a moment and he says, you know what? I'm on a mission from God. I'm going to invite these boys in. And so who have you invited to church? Like who in your world, they're just waiting for you to invite them. You're on a mission. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And so I guess I'll end our time like this today. So the Carolina Hurricanes, my former team, there was a young man played on this team. His name is Greg Kohler. Greg Kohler has the record for the shortest NHL career of all time. You ready for it? 4 seconds. He played in the National Hockey League for 4 seconds. So he made his NHL debut. It was December 29th, 2000, in Columbus, Ohio. And it was amazing. His mom was watching from Toronto, Ontario, waiting to see if her son was going to make it onto the ice. He didn't play the entire first period. Midway through the second period, finally, Coach Paul Maurice tapped him on the shoulder. He says, "You're up next, kid." And so he was waiting for his opportunity. And then finally, Coach sent him, and he went over the boards. And he was skating ferociously, right? He took 8 strides. And then the whistle blew. There was a penalty assessed to another player, and so he got pulled off the ice. He would sit on the bench and never, ever play in the National Hockey League again. He just never got another opportunity. And so his career was 4 seconds long. And so when he was interviewed, like some years later, they asked, "Hey, man, you had probably the shortest career, 4 seconds. Any regrets?" And he says, "Nope, I got no regrets." And here's my big question for you today. Hey, what are you doing with your 4 seconds? Like, do you know that James, the Lord's brother, that he writes in the book of James that our life, it's kind of like a vapor. It's here for a second, and then it's gone. Or in other words, it's 4 seconds. And so the big question for us today is, what are you doing with your 4 seconds? Are you living your life on a mission? God saved you and set you apart, and now he's sending you on a mission of reconciliation. Are you playing your part in God's mission? Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time that we could gather together today, Lord. God, I want to pray for those that are tuning in, God, that don't know you. And listen, if that's you today, I want to let you know that a relationship with God is as easy as A, B, C. A, you simply have to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Then B means just believe. Believe in Christ's finished work on the cross, that he paid the price for your sins and he rose again, that you too might raise to newness of life. And then C, confess. Confess with your mouth Jesus as both your Savior and your Lord. Lord means that, Lord, you call the shots, all right? And salvation is really that simple. God sent a message of reconciliation to you. And so, Lord, I pray for those, God, that you're calling to yourself today. God, may they admit, believe, and confess Jesus as Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen, Every Nation.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.